Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Before I get started tonight, I just wanted to share a little incident that happened to me that just kind of came out of nowhere. My wife and I, we got home this afternoon, and I looked at the mailbox, and I said, honey, the mail's already come, but it looks like something's in our mailbox. Like, you know, did the mailman come again, or what happened? The second coming of the mailman, I don't know. But we walked up to our house and looked in the mailbox there, and lo and behold, there was a copy of Hal Lindsey's book entitled Vanished into Thin Air, The Hope of Every Believer. And, of course, I have a copy of this book in my library, but it was still there. So I have no idea how this got into my mailbox, who put it there, what was the reason. It's never really had anything like that happen before. And I don't even know why I'm sharing that with you, except, hey, it's nice when you have a podcast, you can share things with people, interesting things. And my wife and I just kept looking at each other and scratching our heads, and I'm thinking, well, you know, we're ready. We're ready for the rapture. I mean, is somebody trying to tell us something? Or it was just so strange. I cannot come up with any answer as to how that book or why that book ended up in our mailbox. We don't have people coming by from our church or other places dropping off books and things. You know, I mean, that would be nice, I guess. But I just had to share that. It was just an interesting little thing that happened, and you're the first to hear about it, except for my neighbor. I had shared with my neighbor a book by Mark Hitchcock on Iran. I forgot the name of it. It was the Ahmadinejad book about the Iranian type of Shiite Muslim Islam, and that's a story itself, which I don't have time to go into. But I felt led to share that with this man after he helped us. How he really was God's answer to a difficult situation that I was in, and he helped me and my doggy out as we were in a difficult place. So it was just a door opener for me to tell him the story about. I asked him, did you see anybody, you know, put a book in our mailbox? And he didn't. And I said, you know, would you like to have the book? And he said, no, thank you. I have my own faith. But that in itself was kind of an answered prayer, because I wanted to talk to him again about prophecy, Bible prophecy. And I hadn't really seen him much or had a chance to talk to him about that book that I had given him at Christmas time some time ago. So anyway, you're the second people to hear this story about this book that was planted in our mailbox. So anyway, you know, I've been reading a book about the life of George Mueller, the man of faith, who all kinds of things were dropped in his mailbox, I guess, and at his doorstep and everything else. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. That was just interesting. So, you know, I have really digressed temporarily from my study of apostate Christian magazines to look at three recent events that have come to my attention, and which I would say, of course, are all part of the deception in the last days. Now, two of them I've already looked at, and one was a local Seventh-day Adventist so-called prophecy conference, and the other was the proposed sale of the U.S. Center for World Missions, which, you know, have been responsible for the world Christian movement and perspectives that were associated with the U.S. Center. Now, I will look at the third event a little bit later, but in the meantime, I want to give tribute to a man whose writings I have referenced on more than one occasion, including last week's podcast concerning the world Christian movement and perspectives at the U.S. Center for World Missions, as he wrote a three-part series and turned it into a book exposing the world Christian movement. So you can go to the archives and hear more about that. But I wanted to give a tribute to this man, because this was also a very interesting thing that happened to me last week, and that is I had already pre-recorded my podcast for last Wednesday, and then Jackie Alnor had posted a tribute to Al Dager that he had passed and gone to be with the Lord. And, you know, it was wild, because, like I say, I had referenced him in my podcast for that evening's podcast, and it was almost like a tribute without, you know, knowing that he was going to die. But anyway, you know, he produced Media Spotlight, which is a cutting-edge discernment magazine, as well as many informative newsletters and books over the years. I followed his ministry for about almost 40 years, and though I had never met him, I plan on meeting him in heaven. Although I have a different view of eschatology than he did, I found him to be a non-compromising, fearless discerner of the times like few others. And in fact, my Facebook post last Wednesday was that he was a non-compromising man of God, has gone to be with the Lord, followed his ministry through his excellent newsletter, Media Spotlight, and books for close to 40 years, shared some of his insights on some of my past podcasts, and in fact, I referenced him in tonight's podcast, which of course was last Wednesday night's podcast, before I knew that he had gone to be with the Lord. He was a fearless warrior for discernment and truth in an age of growing apostasy, and he was a blessing to those who have an ear to hear. There were few like him, and I look forward to meeting him in heaven. I also posted a Media Spotlight from 2013, which had many excellent articles in it, and a tribute to Dave Hunt, who had just gone to be with the Lord at that time in 2013, who was also a friend of Al's, and who also was an uncompromising man of God. Both of these great men have gone to their reward with Jesus. So I'm thankful that I knew Al through his writings. I'm thankful that I did get to meet Dave Hunt and was blessed and really mentored through so much of his materials and research that he did. Now, please pray for Jean, Al Dager's wife. I've talked to her a couple times on the phone. But I haven't talked to her since Al died. And, you know, I hope the ministry continue, and I encourage you to avail yourself of his many excellent resources. Now, next, I want to talk about some pertinent information. I haven't read any biographies of Christian people for a long time, but I ran across a couple of books in a thrift store a few weeks ago, or actually, I guess a month or so ago, and you know, both of these books were written about, they were biographies, not autobiographies, they were both written about two men of God that I really think very highly of. One lived about 300 years ago, and the other lived probably 150 to 200 years ago. And their books that I picked up, George Mueller, Man of Faith and Miracles by Basil Miller, which I had read many years ago and was blessed by. And the other was A Pilgrim Who Made Progress by William Deal about the life of John Bunyan. And it was really excellent. And both books I found to be very inspiring and very encouraging in our faith to see these uncompromising men of God. And then I went on to read an autobiography by a man who's still living, Warren Smith. All of these bios have been an autobiography, have been a blessing to me. Mueller, because he reminds me to trust totally in God, you know, no compromise. He never asked for financial support, as he helped to help thousands of orphans in England. And Bunyan, no compromise, because he spent 12 years in jail because he would not compromise the gospel and stop preaching the word of God as he was oppressed by the state religion there, the Anglican Church. He wrote, of course, the famous Pilgrim's Progress. But for me, Bunyan's book, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, was a game changer in my life. Satan seeks to destroy our faith any way he can and our confidence in God and his word. And God really used this book, of course, his book, the Word of God, but he used this book in a great way because in Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, I found someone who, at the time, I didn't know ever existed. I didn't know there was anybody like me who had such a struggle just trusting in the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and believing for my salvation. It took me a couple of years before I finally had assurance of my salvation. I know it sounds crazy. Maybe some of you can relate. Maybe some of you struggle. Maybe some of you should read that book, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners by John Bunyan. Excellent, powerful book. Like I say, a game changer in my life. How the Word of God helped me in this matter. Of course, Bunyan quoted often from the Word of God. But the scripture that finally really hit the mark for me and helped me to get out of my doubts about my salvation. Of course, Satan will always attack us and come at us in any way he can. But I don't doubt my salvation anymore, at least. And Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, these were the verses that really helped me as I struggled in just trusting that in my salvation in Christ. I'm going to read that to you in the King James. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, and of course this is Paul, the author of Philippians, speaking, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the devil wants us to get caught up in our past. He wants us to worry about our past sins, our past failings. And, you know, there's an old saying, when the devil reminds you of your past, it's good to remind him of his future. You know, maybe he'll lay off a little bit because his future is not good. And our past, by the way, is forgiven. Christ has forgiven us. 1 John 1:9 is a good verse for you to memorize if you don't know that verse. But this is these are the verses that really helped me. Forgetting those things which are behind. Why live in the past? Or why be worried about the future? Why be anxious about the future? Why worry and keep bringing up your past? Live in the now. Live in the present. But anyway, these books, these biographies were so helpful to me. Now, moving on to Mueller's book, you know, his life work with these orphanages, he never claimed to have any particular gift of faith. He just chose to trust God, and God built his faith. And it wasn't like a supernatural gift of faith, at least not according to him. And I might quote from him in a minute a little about that. But you know, one example that I always love to tell about Mueller, he had so many of these stories. But as he had been praying for food for, and this is, I think this is relevant to all of us, whether we're in discernment ministry or we're just Christians trying to make it from day to day, I think it's relevant that we need to walk by faith, trust that God will meet our needs. In other words, just believe the promises of God, okay? If you're in ministry, a lot of ministry, if you're in true ministry, oftentimes you will not find a lot of financial remuneration for what you do. But yet God's promise to take care of you is as good as gold, and you can take that to the bank. But, you know, if you want to make a lot of money, become a heretic or a wolf, and you'll do great financially in the ways of this world. But if you walk with God, you'll have some challenging moments. You'll have some crises. And I love to hear the story about Mueller as he had been praying. And this happened on many occasions, similar things. And had been praying for the orphans to have breakfast because there was no food. And what had happened was God had laid it on the hearts of several people. They hadn't talked to each other. God put it on their hearts to cook up some breakfast foods, you know, whatever they were, what was at the time, but they cooked up some bakery items, brought them to the house, and around the same time that this had been happening, of course, Mueller had said, okay, kids, let's pray, you know, I mean, there was nothing there, and he was praying, okay, we need to eat, God. And so these people start filing in one by one with all the different foods and all the goodies. Hey, but you need something to dunk those bakery items in, right? So what did God do? There's a knock on the door, and there's a milk truck. Not like our trucks today, of course, because it was horse-driven or pulled. But the truck, the wheel, had broken off right in front of the orphanage, okay? So the man walks up, knocks on the door. Hi, can you guys need some milk? It's just going to spoil out here. It's just going to go to waste, you know. Could you use any milk? Anyway, I love the story. It's so good. You know, God is so good. And sharing such things, let me read from his book. One little thing, because God did another cool thing, and my wife was a witness to it, although she almost missed it. It's funny how those things work. But this is what he says on page 58 of this book, or what, you know, of the biographer says. He quotes Mueller as saying, During these testing days, Mr. Mueller was often asked how do he manage to build such a strong faith in God. He replied that he endeavored to keep his faith in God strong enough not only for daily supplies of food for the orphans and money for the missionary work, but also for the spiritual concerns of the world. He said, "Let not Satan deceive you," writes Mr. Mueller, during those fate-wrenching days, "in making you think you could not have the same faith, you know, that he had, but that it is only for persons situated as I am." He said, "When I lose such a thing as a key, I ask the Lord to direct me to it, and I look for an answer to my prayer. When a person with whom I have an appointment does not come, I ask the Lord to be pleased to hasten him to me, and I look for an answer. Thus, in all my temporal and spiritual concerns, I pray to the Lord and expect an answer to my requests. And may not you do the same, dear believing reader." Well, my wife went into the rural king, the local rural king, and as she came out to the car, I stayed in the car and she was driving. So she came out to the car and I said, "Honey, listen to this. Isn't this cool?" And I read just what I read to you. Well, she was distracted because as I was reading, "When I lose such a thing as a key, I ask the Lord to direct me to it." And my wife's going, "I lost the keys. I lost the keys to the car." And I said, "Honey, this message, honey, this is for you." Of course, it's for me too. I'm pretty good at losing keys. But, you know, God's got a sense of humor. And we need to have just a little bit more faith in him because he's a good God. And he's a God who's given us something like 6,000 or 7,000 promises in his word. So anyway, it's important, especially in these last days, to trust God to supply our needs and not to trust in the arm of the flesh. Don't compromise. Don't put your trust in people. You should know by now, if you've been around long, that you can never totally trust in people, even Christian people. So anyway, you know, I actually haven't been reading a lot of biographies or autobiographies until recently. At least, earlier on in my Christian life I had. But I hadn't read anything recently for quite a while. But after these two, I decided to read Warren Smith's book, his autobiography, The Light That Was Dark, which he gave me a few years ago at a discernment conference up near Kansas City. He had autographed it, and so I finally got around to reading it. You know, I was inspired by the other two books that I was reading, so I read it. And I had already heard his story of how another autobiography of another New Ager. Warren, if you didn't know, was formerly a New Age type guy. And this, of course, was Johanna Michelson. She wrote the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, in which she told, via autobiographical fashion, how God had delivered her from the New Age occult world that she lived in. And so anyway, I had heard his story about how he had found her book, and it had helped bring him to the realization that he needed salvation, having been deceived by seducing spirits. This led me, of course, to some of his CDs that I had in my resources in the basement. And which I had heard before, some of them, but I had made note of his quotation of Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message paraphrase of the Bible, Rick Warren's one of his favorite versions of the Bible, or perversions, I guess you could say, who had compared, Eugene Peterson had compared the heretical book, The Shack, to John Bunyan's classic Pilgrim's Progress, you know, because they were both... they were fictional accounts and books, and but he was claiming, I guess, that this book may be another Pilgrim's Progress, and I don't know if he meant in popularity or what. I'm sure he may have meant in spiritual reality or spiritual truth, but of course it's not, as of course Pilgrim's Progress was a spiritual classic, and The Shack is a really piece of heretical trash. Obviously very popular. Pilgrim's Progress is, at one time was, I think the Bible was the only book that had been more, there were more books, Bibles published. The only book that had been published more copies of was the Bible, other than Pilgrim's Progress. And of course, I don't know where The Shack is on that list, but there's even been a movie about that. But, you know, I think we can expect that, of course, in these apostate days. And I guess that should also be expected from a liberal like Eugene Peterson. Now, as I get into the third current event on my list that I am addressing, I will be referencing Warren's book again, as well as several others. But I think at this time, I have time. I want to give an update, which I just read. It was either last night or the other night online from Lighthouse Trails Publishing concerning Warren Smith. So it's all kind of a providential, I think. But anyway, let's read this update, or let me read this to you about Warren. As many of you know, Lighthouse Trails author and co-laborer in ministry Warren B. Smith went through some major trials in 2016 and 17 when his home was severely damaged and family pets were lost in a fire in Central California, and he also suffered a heart attack. These things occurred during the time period that authors and defenders of the faith Ray Youngen and Carol Matriciana were ill and both passed away. Needless to say, it was an extremely hard time, especially for Warren and his wife, Joy, losing their home and two close friends and co-workers, and Warren nearly losing his own life. Today, Warren has recovered from his health issues, and their home has been finally renovated. What we at Lighthouse Trails find totally amazing is that through this almost surreal time for Warren and Joy, they have never given up on serving the Lord and remaining active in ministry. In fact, Warren has probably written some of his most powerful material in the last 2 years. Through this, we have seen God's ongoing love, faithfulness, and provision for the Smiths, and to see how God has given them the strength and fortitude to keep pressing on through this time of extreme trials is a testimony to God's promises in His Word that He will not leave us nor forsake us, and that in our weaknesses, His strength prevails. The reason we are writing this update is because of our deep regard for Warren and our belief in the value of his writing ministry. As most of you know, Warren came out of the New Age and became a Christian in 1984. After his conversion, he continued his work with his master's degree in social work and hospice care. In 1992, he wrote his biography, The Light That Was Dark, From the New Age to Amazing Grace. The release of that book launched Warren into ministry, where he split his time between warning about the New Age and working as a social worker on the West Coast. In 2001, he felt the call from God to leave his secular job and enter full-time ministry, at which time he wrote Reinventing Jesus Christ, later to be titled False Christ Coming, Does Anybody Care? And Warren has continued to write what we consider some of the most important materials for the church today. With that said, being in full-time ministry without the financial backing of a large organization is truly a walk of faith and can at times test that faith greatly. While Warren does not complain about this calling and is a man of faith, we know here at Lighthouse Trails, because of our close relationship with him, that the last few years have been especially difficult financially, as interest in discernment issues in the church at large seems to decline rather than grow. Boy, you can say that again. And with so much free material online, many people do not support ministries like ours or Warren's through purchasing material. We have often considered these things and have come to realize that many of our readers may think that because an author has several books and booklets, that he or she must make a lot of money. But that is just not the case. It is very difficult to make a lot of money as either a publisher or an author. There just isn't a high profit margin. It's tough enough to be a publisher, but an author makes even less unless there's a bestseller, which doesn't usually happen with discernment type materials. We've explained the situation, particularly about Warren Smith, because we think you should know what is happening. We have never been a ministry that has said, if you don't support us, we can't go on. We don't say that because we know our going on, or in this case, Warren going on, is dependent on God's provision and plans, although he certainly does use people to fulfill many of his plans. So please do not think that we are saying that if you don't respond to this letter that Warren will have to quit ministry. He has proven himself to be a man who does not quit. But it does sadden us to see how much he has suffered, physically, financially, etc., and yet he keeps going, determined to help others in these spiritually perilous times. We have come alongside Warren in various ways that we can, but as a relatively small ministry, we ourselves are very limited. If you feel so inclined to make Warren's writing ministry a part of your regular giving or occasional giving, we thank you. If that giving can only be in the way of prayer, really the most important way to give, we thank you for this as well. Regardless of your response, if any, we do hope you will understand our writing this and that we do not mean to offend or upset anyone, but felt compelled to share our hearts with you in this matter. For information about Warren, including contact information, materials, and articles available, and how to donate, you may visit his website at warrenbsmith.com. And we thank you for your continued interest in Lighthouse Trails and the authors we represent. And I know when I met Warren, you know, he was kind enough just to give me a copy of his book and autographed it for me. We kind of hit it off, and we had a bond there and in the spirit. And he just seems to be a real, I mean, I don't know him super well, but I've talked to him on more than one occasion, and he just seems like a really neat, sweet brother in the Lord. But his writing is also, his ministry is so good, the discernment that he has and what he has to share because of his experience is, I think, very, very valuable. And I just felt I should read that update about Warren. I got a couple minutes. I think I'm gonna end now, and then we'll get started next week with the latest current event that I wanted to share with you before I go back to my study of One Way to Apostasy, the apostate Christian magazines that are helping to spread the terrible apostasy, and yet the apostasy that God has predicted would come in the last days. Anyway, God bless you all. I hope you'll be with us next week. Good night.